And the incident that we read of from John chapter 20 and verse 29, the Bible is very, very kind to Thomas. The hymn spoke of no intruding ear. And we just don't know why Thomas wasn't there with the other disciples. We have no idea. Or we can guess or think some things, but the scripture doesn't authorize us to say quite definitely we're right. We may be. Throughout the scriptures, Thomas is seen as a loyal and regular disciple. Nothing ever appears in the scripture which could be leveled against him. He was loyal, he was always there. But on this occasion, when for his own sake he most needed to be there with the others, he wasn't. If it was that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much that he couldn't bear the thought of him dying and wanted to be alone, wanted space, that may well be the truth. But it would have helped to have been with the others. He would have seen Jesus. If it was that his faith failed him, he pinned all his hopes and his love and his faith and his desires on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he hadn't saved the world like he said he was going to save, or at least like they thought he'd said he was going to save, like the Messiah. Maybe that was too much to bear. But he wasn't there when Jesus returned. You can say that Thomas was the one who most needed the Lord Jesus in the time of his upset. And who was the one person who didn't meet him? It was Thomas. And why didn't he meet him? It was because he wasn't there with the others. The scripture tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Of course, we don't know what we miss, but we will miss the Lord Jesus Christ. We will miss his help. We will miss the company and love of those of like mind. You can, of course, understand. They must have known where they could find Thomas. So at some day after that first Lord's Day, they met up with Thomas. And of course, they made matters worse. "We've seen the Lord," they said. "And do you think Thomas is lovely? That's what I wanted." No, he didn't. He was sullen. He was sad. He knew he'd done wrong probably in not going, and now he was jealous that he hadn't been there. So he didn't want to put a good construction on what they said. So he went over the top. And he does go over the top. It's a well-known thing, isn't it, that the person who hits back gets into trouble because whoever was watching didn't see the first action. But the person who hits back is also in the wrong. And sometimes we hit back by going over the top. Two boys in school, one gives him a punch, the next one gives him three and knocks his teeth out. It accelerates a sense of anger and injustice within. So we go over the top. We don't just meet evil with evil, we meet evil and then add some. And this is how Thomas reacted. You would have expected that he'd been delighted to hear that the Lord was alive. It's what he wanted. But he was so, how to put it really, so taken up with his own disillusion, as it was just at that time, it was only very temporary, that he could find no pleasure in what the disciples said. But somewhere along the line, there must have been a change of mind, because next Lord's Day, he was there. He was in exactly the same place. The disciples were in exactly the same place. And the Lord Jesus came in exactly the same way. The doors were closed. He came in his new body through the doors. And he said to them, peace, which was the usual greeting. But he wasted no time after having greeted them all with addressing Thomas. Thomas, what's he going to say? What does Thomas think now? He knows he's done wrong. And here's the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus has called his name. What's going to happen? Thomas, reach hither your finger and behold my hands. But Thomas had said, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And here's Jesus. Is this what you really want to do? Is this what you really think? You see how he's being convicted of sin by the way the Spirit does it? Does that really express the things you've come out with? Do they really express what you really and actually feel? Or have you gone beyond what you really feel? Thomas, come on. Reach hither thy finger. And when the Lord comes to a sinner, he calls him close and deals with him at close hand about the things that have troubled him. Thomas, come here. Reach your finger here. He might even have held his finger for him. Reach hither thy finger and look closely at my hands. Is it not I? Am I not genuine? Is it not the same Saviour you've always known? I wonder if Thomas was thinking to himself, how did Jesus know what I said? We saw this morning that the Lord knows everything in our hearts, even if they don't come to be spoken, but these words were spoken. But the Lord knew exactly what he'd said, and he knew exactly what he'd thought, and he knew exactly that those words did not represent his real feelings. All right, Thomas. Your hand. Come on. Thrust it into my side. That's what you wanted to do, wasn't it? It's a very strong Greek word. It's not put it or place it. Is thrust it. Really? Really, Thomas? Is that what you really want? I'm sure Thomas, in view of what follows, recoiled. I'm sure it was the last thing he wanted, though he'd made out it was the first thing he wanted, else he would not believe. He made it a condition of believing. Sometimes enemies of the gospel make certain conditions about believing. And very often we're told that seeing is believing. They won't get saved that way, because seeing is not faith. It's contrary to faith. And then Jesus says to him, thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Now, faith and belief, not head knowledge, but trust, belief, are synonyms. Faith, belief, and trust are synonyms. And in Greek here, it's much, much more concise. We've got be not faithless, but believing. And in Greek, the word is apistos, which is the opposite of pistos, but pistos. Same word is used, exactly the same Greek word, with only one letter different, the word that means un or not or anything like that. Just like we can say unbelieving for believing, the Greek word for faithless is one letter in front of the word for believing. They are synonyms, and in Greek, they are identical. I say that because it does in fact come across with more power than it would seem to do in the English. Be not an unbeliever, but be a believer. Don't let unbelief get hold of you, but believe. Jesus makes such a strong contrast. There is no place for unbelief. Believe and be saved. Be not faithless, but believing. Now, Thomas is about to make one of the most wonderful confessions of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I shall want you to notice that you might think that saying what he says about the Lord Jesus, the Lord would be absolutely delighted with him. He probably was. But he went on to say something else. And that something else concerns us. So we're very grateful for this story, this incident, being in the Bible. When the Lord Jesus said to him, be not faithless but believing, he was instantly obedient. All the faithlessness disappeared and all the belief came out. And he said, my Lord and my God. Couldn't say anything more, could he? You are the Lord of my life. I'm absolutely in your control. You can do what you like with me. That's what Lord means. You own me. And my God. You are the one I worship. You are the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. You are the Saviour of all mankind. It was a marvelously embracing testimony. My Lord and my God. Can we all say that? Do we all approach the Lord Jesus Christ in such a reverent a way of allegiance? My Lord and my God. But Jesus didn't leave it there. Thomas, he said, you've believed because you've seen me. Do you know what? You could have been the first. not to have seen me and believed. He could. Because there are going to be 2,000 years, we know of 2,000 years, or more, of those who will never see me. And if they're going to go to heaven, they've got to believe in me, though they don't see. You could have been the first. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. That's what you wanted to do. You wanted to put your fingers in the print of the nails and thrust your hand into his side. You wanted to see in order to believe. But there are millions to follow who will never see. And they've got to believe, else they won't be saved. That's us. And that's why we're glad they're here. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. We put our faith in him. When we read about the Gospels, we see him in real life there, and they come alive, and we believe that it happened, and that it all was like that, and that he's the Saviour of the world, and we love him and are devoted to him, but we haven't seen him. Thomas and the disciples, maybe those children of whom I was speaking, saw him and believed. But we are blessed if we believe and haven't seen. When we don't want, need, desire anything about sight in order to believe. When deep within our spirits and taught by the Spirit of God to know our own hearts and to know our wretchedness in the sight of our holy God, we don't need to see. We just need the Holy Spirit invisibly working deep down within our hearts. And there are thousands like it. Once Jesus had died, was resurrected, and ascended into heaven, no believer, no new believer, has seen him. But says the Lord, they're blessed. Now if ever you are tempted to think to yourself, I haven't seen God. Perhaps it's all in my own mind. Perhaps it's all imagination. Perhaps it isn't true. Go to these words if you ever think like that. Where the Lord said, blessed, as he did the Beatitudes, blessed. I have favoured you because you are able to believe without seeing. My plea is that this day, that there will be those who, though they haven't seen Jesus, like you would see your friends or your teachers or your workmates, they believe in him just as much as if they'd seen him. And they trust him absolutely. With their only life they've got. The wonderful thing, isn't it? We've only got one life. And to trust it to the Saviour is enormously valued by him. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. You didn't. You had a great opportunity and you missed it. But of course you were still saved. We who don't see, but hear the gospel, have a great opportunity, but we mustn't miss it. May the Lord help us put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, dead, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and one day to return. Amen.